For more gauging of the political climate, we're joined by columnists E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, who's here in our studios. Thanks for coming back.
Great to be here.
And David Brooks of The New York Times, who's in New Hampshire today at member station WEVO in Concord. David, welcome.
Good to talk with you.
E.J., you're just back from Iowa. David's up there in New Hampshire. I wonder if you're getting a sense among voters who may be undecided, maybe having soft support for a candidate, of how much mobility there is at this point. How many people are still changing their minds or making up their minds?
I had a sense wandering around Iowa that there are a lot of people changing their minds. My sense of the race is that you had essentially two big department stores, the two guys who lead in Iowa, Howard Dean and Richard Gephardt. And if people haven't found yet what they want in those two department stores, they're turning to the smaller shops. They are John Edwards and John Kerry. And so I think what you're going to see, by and large, in the next week, the likelihood is growth in Edwards and growth in Kerry. I was in a town called Solon. John Edwards was in this American Legion Hall that was absolutely packed. I got in sort of in the middle of the event. I couldn't even see him. It was so packed. You clearly have a sense of momentum there. And with Kerry, he finally seems to have found a voice and a consistency that he has not had for a long time. So something is clearly happening with those two candidacies.
And David Brooks up in New Hampshire, with all the focus on Iowa, Wesley Clark has had the state largely to himself. Joe Lieberman's there, too. They're not competing in Iowa. Do you get a different sense of what's going on up there?
Not really, except for with the addition of Clark. I agree. Edwards is surging. Kerry seems to be surging in Iowa. Here in New Hampshire, Clark is clearly surging. My theory about what's happening is that you had a group of people who were passionately against the war, and they were mobilized early in this process by Dean, and so they were sort of engaged. But there were a whole bunch of Democrats, I'd say 40% of the Democratic Party, if you measure by the polls, who were not against the war, and they were not really engaged by any of the candidates. And so they were sitting around in the undecided category for month after month after month, and they're finally getting engaged. And the people they are going to is not Howard Dean. They're going to some of the other candidates who seem a little better to them. So you had all these non-Deaniacs who are finally registering their support, and it's going to Kerry, to Edwards, and to Clark.
And it's interesting because Howard Dean has just rolled out an ad in Iowa which focuses on the war. Where did the Washington Democrats stand on the war, it asks, pointing out that Senators Kerry and Edwards and Dick Gephardt all voted for it. Do you think that works, E.J. Dionne? Does it turn anybody around who might not be supporting Dean in the first place?
Well, clearly, Dean is trying to make sure that the people David just described who are passionately for him remember why they're for him and turn out. And I think that's the positive spin on the ad. The negative spin on the ad is you get a sense from the way Dean is behaving that he is starting to worry that something is not going, things aren't going as well as they were a couple of months ago. And the notion that he feels he needs to attack all these candidates suggests that he thinks he may be, if not in some trouble, at least in a little bit of jeopardy.
This Sunday, Howard Dean heads to Plains, Georgia. He's going to be having an event of some sort with Jimmy Carter, another governor who made it to the White House. What do we think is coming with that event? David Brooks?
Yeah, I think that'll be one more addition of the Bradley, Gore, Carter, people who are sort of not centrist Democrats now who are lining up with Howard Dean. I really don't think it helps him that much. I think his problem right now is that he's hit a ceiling on the people who are potential Deaniacs, and he's hit an emotional ceiling. What I heard from a lot of Democrats here in New Hampshire was not so much about the issues, but the perception that he's a little cold. And so he really, if he's going to broaden his support, it would have to do with personal warmth. And yet somehow, by going on the attack, he's going the exact opposite direction.
Dean has been very gifted and very lucky in finding some endorsement or some connection to, as it were, an establishment Democrat at a crucial moment. News was very bad for Howard Dean. He had trashed the Iowa caucuses. And then Tom Harkin, a very, very popular Democratic senator, endorses him. And so he's going one more time to the well. Jimmy Carter, outsider governor who got nominated in 1976, I think in the hopes of changing the news at just the right time before the caucuses. We'll see if it works.
I'd like to ask you both about someone who has not been on the campaign trail, and that's the other Dr. Dean, the wife of Howard Dean, who's Dr. Judith Steinberg Dean in practice in Burlington. David, your paper yesterday did a profile of her, and she said, "I couldn't be more supportive, but I don't show my support by traveling with him. I'd rather be seeing patients." And I was struck by the letters that appeared today in the paper, all of which were from people who supported her. Refreshing, hurrah, a wife who has a mind and a life of her own. Does this become an issue, do you think, or have times changed?
I think it still is an issue. And I began hearing it from Iowa voters months and months ago. And I think most people are of two minds. On the one hand, they respect her position. She's not interested. She doesn't want to do it. On the other hand, a man who is on the campaign trail without family connections, who really in the past year has spent almost no time at home, sometimes seemed to people as too much of a political creature and not enough of a normal family person.
It is as everything is with Howard Dean. He's got all these strengths and these weaknesses that are mirrors of each other. He is a strong, tough loner, and a lot of people respect that. But he's also a loner, and I think it would be very helpful to him, as David said, to be seen as having these family connections.
Next Monday is the Iowa caucus. The next night is the State of the Union address, and that'll be the president's night. Do we expect something on the order of the vision thing that President Bush's father was unable to really succeed with? We saw the space initiative today. David Brooks, what do you think we'll be hearing from the president next week?
Well, I think no one will go unpandered to. He's got the power of the purse, and he is promising he's got immigration reform, marriage reform, space program. I think the thing that he has as a strength is what people perceive of as leadership skills, and I think he'll want to continue that. It's been very noticeable in the foreign policy arena, not so noticeable on the domestic policy arena. And over the past few weeks, and I suspect in the State of the Union, he will roll out a whole series of domestic policy initiatives that are meant to suggest bold vision and leadership and movement.
EJ, any surprises that you expect next week?
No, I think we're going to see more of the same. We are going to see some more tax cuts that will largely benefit the best off. At a debate in Iowa on Sunday, Dennis Kucinich said, are we going to the moon or Mars to look for the weapons of mass destruction? I think you will have a fairly predictably partisan reaction, but he will have this great moment. And my hunch is that about 2 or 3 weeks from now, we'll be back to the same fight where we started.
Thanks to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
E.J. Dionne of The Washington Post, who's here in our studios, and David Brooks of The New York Times, who's in Concord, New Hampshire, at member station WEVO.